Good afternoon. I'm not going to assume that everyone knows me. So thank you, Cassini. So I'm going to take a moment to introduce, a couple of minutes to introduce myself and tell you a little bit about myself. And I've been a member of this parish for the last approximately 26 years. I've been a deacon for the last 13. I had recently my anniversary on February the 1st, so I had recently my quinceañera, if you know what I mean, right? Okay. Okay, so like I said, I was a member of this parish for about 26 years. I've been married for almost 29 years to my wife, Blanca. We have anniversary coming on March the 3rd. We have two daughters. And even though probably you never saw me serving or very often in the English masses, is because I was mainly concentrate in the what's called my the Spanish masses, because as you notice, English is not my native language. Now you might wonder why do I'm here after 13 years, right? So I just want you to know that after 13 years of being ordained permanent deacon, is my very first time preaching in English at a Sunday mass. And then why? And you might, so let me tell you, you are the lucky ones or the unfortunate ones. Depends how you see it, right? Now you might ask, why I'm here now? And let me ask you, who could be the reason to that? There is a gentleman here in the front that has been bugging Father Mario for several, I would say probably years now, Bob. We're going to have Deacon Eduardo preach the English message, right? So if you have any complaint after my homily, you can call 1-800-BOB-GREEDY, okay? And complain to him, okay? So I'm here to share my faith, okay? And I was thinking when I was preparing the homily, do you know what a coincidence? This set of readings I preach 15 years ago, my very first homily in Spanish at a Spanish mass, right? The same set of readings. So you might wonder, I wonder if this deacon is going to grab his old homily, put in the microwave oven, reheat it, and gave it to us. Well, the answer is no, okay? Why? Because believe me, I've come a long way after 15 years, okay? So to start my preaching, I would say I think it's important with the intention to help us understand in a deeper way and get something out of today's Gospels. It's important to lay down how this episode was saw it from the story back then. First of all, the illness of leprosy was a common illness in the very first century. Today, the closest to more similar illness is what is known as the Hansen's disease. There is some debate about that. Some experts say, oh, that's exactly the same disease as the leprosy. I don't know about that. I'm going to let the experts debate and argue about that. I don't know for sure. In the meantime, this disease, it was a terrible disease that kills the person slowly from the inside. When I was reading about it and doing some investigation about this illness, I read that the symptoms of this rare illness, it could last about between 5 and 20 years to develop and to start showing these symptoms. So when the person discovered he had leprosy, he was almost sure that this person was completely invaded on all his body of this rare illness. The disease cause damage to the nervous systems, the person lose sensibility, it affects the skin, the fingers starts to literally fall off, the same thing happened to the nose, it affects the vocal cords that the person ends with a hoarse voice that cannot speak clearly anymore. Eventually, the person goes totally blind. Some Jewish historians refer to the people that was ill with the leprosy as the walking dead. It was a horrible illness. The man in the story of the gospel is most likely suffered for a long time. But the worst among all the symptoms, the physical symptoms of this terrible illness was that this person has to become an outcast. In the book of Leviticus, it's a very detailed set of regulations in how the people that contract the leprosy should be treated and what the person particularly needs to do when this person was affected by this illness. The book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 45 to 46, it reads, "The leprous person who has the disease should wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he should cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling should be outside the camp." Let me stop here for a moment and put in perspective what would happen with a person in nowadays is he contracts a horrible illness, let's say cancer. What will be our attitude towards them? We will be most likely sympathetic. We will be feel sorry for them. We will offer them our support. We will offer them our prayers. We will be made sure that they know that we're very concerned about their, about they, right? And what we will do, we will probably visit in person if it's possible. We will give them a phone call, a text, or an email, or at least we're going to try to find out how they are doing through the person or the people that are close to them. Because we want to make sure that they know that we're concerned about them. Now, in comparison with the lepers of the Old Testament, that was not the case. Not only because the disease was very contagious. The rule for the person with leper, the closer he could get to a person that was ill, it was a read that I found out says 6 feet upwind and 150 feet downwind. But mainly because it was considered a disease of the soul, of the spiritual life. So as a result, the parents of the person with leprosy, they cannot be in contact with them anymore if they are still alive. If the person was married, he cannot be in contact with his wife anymore. If he had had any children, he would not be able to touch them until he was cured, most likely for the rest of his life. And this was a nice way to put it when the scripture says he cannot become in contact with healed people until he is cured. It was a nice way to put it. Why? Because the cases of leprosy to recover from this terrible illness, they were extremely rare. Extremely rare. Okay? Leprosy was considered a sort of curse from God. Of profound impurity. So the person with leprosy, according to the regulations, not only has to look like a crazy person. Why? Because he needs to torn his clothes. He needs to have his hair all over the place. And wherever he goes, when he sees people, he needs to scream, "Unclean, unclean," using his hand when it says cover his upper lip, has a megaphone to warn them, "I'm a person with this terrible illness, so don't get close." I believe that we all hear through psychologists when they say today, what would happen to a person when this person is lack of the human touch in his life? It will bring all kinds of negative effects in your life. Why? Because the person can be most pretend to violence, depressions, and all kind horrible things in your life. Okay? So just imagine how these people with this terrible illness felt about that. Not even able to touch another human being, his loved ones. Okay? And this man, like I say, he was considered by the scholars like a walking dead. Okay? And this man in particular, he had it very clear in his mind that he will never be home again. He knew very well that he would never touch to those that he loved him, and those that he loved him won't be able to touch him. Life, as he was knew it, was over for him. Now, will you believe me if I tell you that this story from the gospel is not far from the very same reality of our own lives? This story is our story, and it will have no effect in us if we do not put ourselves in it. Why? Because we also have a curse. And this curse has 5 effects in our lives. Let me mention it to you. The effects and the curse is the sin. Sin, leprosy, was considered as a curse from God. We, as humanity, have a curse that kills us from the inside out. Leprosy is a synonym of sin in the Bible. When we struggle with addiction, lust, anger, it kills us in our spiritual life, in the inside. The second thing that leprosy was doing in the Old Testament is cut people off from other people. So, when we are infected by the disease of sin and we gave ourselves free to it, it cuts us off from relationships. Sin leads us to hide ourselves from others. There are many relationships that have ended because of sin. How many people ended in divorce because of sin? Sin leads us to lie, to cheat, to be selfish. It will be people that love us, that are so close to us, but they may get to a point that they rather have us as far away as possible because it seems like there is no cure for us. We just don't get any better. The third cause of what the leprosy did in the Old Testament, it does also on sin, it numbs you. It numbs you is one of the effects in the people with leprosy, and it makes you lose the ability to feel. Isn't that what sin does in our lives? It numbs us. It makes us lose the ability to feel. Some scholars says one of the only benefits, if you can call it that, one of the benefits for having leprosy is that you lose the sense of feeling. The person doesn't feel anything. That's why these people were able to sleep outdoors in the shrubbery of the cold or the extreme heat with not a big problem. Okay, because they couldn't feel it anything. Okay? The more it progresses, the less it feels. It's in the same way how sin works in our lives. The more we give ourselves to it, the less we feel. For example, when a person lies at work trying to get away with something or to make more money, he may feel terrible at first. But when someone falls in infidelity, the guilty feeling, it might be unbearable. But as it progresses and does more and more these kind of sins, it loses the feelings. It numbs the senses of the spiritual senses. And it's not interest in seek reparation because that behavior becomes their lifestyle. Another of the effects is what the leprosy did. It affects the appearance. It makes us seem unattractive. And it's understandable. A person that is constantly a person that is greedy, a person that is rude, a person who tend to be gossiping all the time, it's just not nice to look at it or be around them. Just think how many people, because of the way they act, just to look at them, even at a distance, make your stomach queasy. They are like people with leprosy. It affects their exterior image, but what is inside. And the last effect is leprosy was incurable. Leprosy in the times of Jesus was incurable. The only one that could cure this terrible disease was God Himself and Jesus Christ. Nowadays, sin is incurable, just like in the episode of the gospel. The only one that can cure sin is God in Jesus Christ. There is no other way we can overcome our addictions. There is no way we can conquer sin or stop the sin that is destroying our lives and the lives that are those that are close to us, that we're destroying with our greed, with our addictions, with our selfishness. So, what we can learn from the story of this leper? I want to walk you through a few the steps that this leper took so we can learn from that. First of all, notice what he did. He recognized his condition. We are ill. The leper had lived many years with consequence of his disease. He could not deny that the disease was destroying his life. The next thing he did, he admit that he could not cure himself, just like sin. We cannot cure ourselves. During all the years he has lived with this disease, he did not get any better. Doesn't matter what he did. On the contrary, it seems like the disease just continued with his destroying path. Another thing that he did on these steps is he looked for the one who could cure him. He seek the doctor with the right medicine. This man heard from Jesus and saw him as his only hope. His life was over for him. And to that day, what he did? He went to him. We may think that because we're ashamed of what we've done or what the sins that we commit, we don't want to get closer to Jesus and confess our sins because we're ashamed. Notice, what would separate us from God for a full recovery? Shame. Compare what this man did, the risk that he took. He took the risk of his life by getting close to Jesus. Why? Because the law said if a person with leprosy gets closer to a crowd that is ill, that doesn't have this illness, they have the right to stone him, to kill him. And these men took these chances. And he got closer to Jesus. How he did it? Notice, he did it with deep humility when he approached him. Notice that he didn't kneel before at a distance. He knew before Jesus when he was in front of him. What he was doing with this action? He was recognizing that he had the power to heal him. Okay? Notice when he begged him and he told him, if you wish, you can clean me. In this expression, he accepting that his condition might be part of his fall, of his behavior, of his own actions. Okay? But he also was recognizing that Jesus had the power to change everything for him. What do you think what will be Jesus' reaction when we got to him and confess our sins? I don't know if this happened to you, okay? But notice what the gospel is saying, what Jesus did, his reactions on the coming of the gospel. How Jesus react? He says, he was moved with pity. We are way grown if we think God is going to react mad towards us when we come before him and confess our sins. I don't know if this happened to you when you were a little kid. I'm just glad it happened to me very few times. But I remember when my brothers and I were naughty and my mom could not control us anymore. You know, what was the last thing she could do? Just wait until your dad comes home. Okay? That might calm us a little bit. But when my dad come home, okay, my man, of course, have to give the report. And I remember my dad call us one by one and call us by name. And when we were in front of him, he would remove his belt from his pants and use it on us. Just remember, God our Father is not like our fathers on earth. And even though sometimes my dad was moved with pity and he let us off the hook easily, but just make sure that God is not going to react mad at you. He's going to react with pity. Okay? Do you ever wonder, my brothers, in this passage of the gospel, was it necessary for Jesus to touch the leper? When we keep reading this in this chapter, 9 verses later, we're going to see that he heals a man at a distance. He don't even have to be present in the house of the person that was ill. Just by saying it, immediately that person was restored, was healed from this illness. Okay? So, why did Jesus, I learned that Jesus wanted to touch this man, this leper, because he was not afraid of the contagious disease. What that tell us? That God is not afraid of our sins. God is not afraid of what we can tell him. We're never going to shock God by confessing our sins or tell us what we want to be clean from. No, he already knows. He's just waiting for us to tell him. And Jesus wanted to give this man, this leper, the human touch that he has not experienced, for only God knows how long he had not felt. And in that touch, it was the divine hand of God giving complete healing and restoration to this man, to society, to his family, and to his church. My brothers and sisters, I want to finish my message with this invitation. The invitation is not to act like the people from the Old Testament by following the law when a leper comes by, just to stone him to death. In the contrary, let's act like Jesus, just the way he did. Do not be afraid to touch those who are incurable, that have the disease of sin, just like us. Allow the love of your hand, lead them to God, to Jesus Christ. I want to finish with this story and make one final point. There is a Catholic priest by the name Joseph Damian de Buster. He's also known as Saint Damian of Malachi. He was Dutch. This saint won recognition for his ministry from the years 1873 to 1889 in what it was known as the Kingdom of Hawaii. Okay? He ministered to the people with leprosy who were required to live under the government-sanctioned quarantine on the island of Malachi on the Kalapala Peninsula. I'm sure some of you already visit this place. Okay? During his ministry, he taught the Catholic faith to the people. He cared for the patients himself. He helped establish leadership within the community to build houses, school, roads, hospitals, and churches. He dressed the residents' ulcers, built a reservoir, made coffins, dug graves, share pipes, and ate poi, which is a typical food from that region that once it's prepared, it seems like a very, very thick soup in his consistency. Okay? He ate this food from the hand of these people. He provided both medical and emotional support. One day, by accident, he put a boiling pot of water on his feet. He spilled it over. And he noticed that he didn't feel anything. Suspecting the worst, he put slowly some of the boiling water on the other feet, and he didn't feel anything. He knew then that he was contagious with leprosy. When the times that he celebrated the masses for these people several times a week and on Sundays, he always began by greeting them by saying, "My dear believers." From the moment that he knew that he was contagious with the leprosy, he began the greeting by saying, "My dear believers and fellow lepers." After a few years, he passed away and he was buried in this place. A few years later, the government of Belgium started claiming the body. They say, "I think we need that body back. It needs to be buried in our soil." The people from Malachi say, "Please, please don't take him. He came and be with us. He loved us. I'm sure he wanted to be buried here." But the Belgian government says, "No, he's one of our heroes. He needs to be buried in our soil." They start going back and forth, you know, arguing with the government if they're going to take the body or not. But the government didn't budge. Finally, the people of Malachi says, "Will you consider, please, at least, leave his right hand buried in our soil? That's the hand that serves us. That's the hand that touched us. Will you please?" And finally, the government of Belgium says, "Okay, we can grant that request." Until today, when you visit this place, you're going to find the tomb of this Father Damien. But not his whole body is buried there, only his right hand. Let me finish with this question, just for you to think about it. When you die, those people that you encounter in your life want to have your right hand close to them because you touch them, because you serve them, because you point them to God. I really hope that's the case. God bless you, and thank you for listening.